Joining us now is a man who's been around the Giants a very long time, a man who knows baseball very well. He devours it like no other. The great Marty Lurie on KNBR tonight to talk about the passing of Stretch. Marty, how are you, sir? Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, I'm glad to be with you, Drew. It's unfortunate circumstances. You know, the Giants have five Hall of Famers. You know, of course, Marichal, Perry, and Mays, and Cepeda, and McCovey. And McCovey is the first to pass away. So that's shock as well. But there's just some, and I tweeted it out tonight, and, you know, he was a great baseball player. And listening to Hank's call, Homer 521, and all the grand slams he hit, he had 14 pinch hit home runs. I said, how do you have so many? He said, well, the first few years, they didn't play me all the time because, you know, Cepeda was there and all that. He was a great baseball player. There's no doubt about it. But as a man, he was exceptional. And he was very quiet and went about his business. And the Willie Mack Award being named for him is just epitomizes who he was in the clubhouse. And we talked to Ron Wotus on Sunday mornings about the Willie Mack Award. And I said, well, what about so-and-so? He said, no, that person doesn't make it in the clubhouse. And that's where Willie McCovey was special to his teammates in the clubhouse. And it's just a great loss, not only as a baseball player, but as a very generous and well-respected man. And when you went to the Giants Community Fund, for the Junior Giants Stretch Drive, the Glove Drive, the golf tournament named in his honor. He was at everything. He gave of himself to the organization, to the Bay Area, and perhaps the most beloved Giant of all time. And I had a chance to talk to Orlando Cepeda tonight, and he's very broken up about the loss of Willie. Willie was like a brother to Orlando. They came to the Giants at the same time in 1955. To a tryout camp in Melbourne, Florida. Mm-hmm. And Cepeda had come from Puerto Rico, and McCovey had come down from Mobile, Alabama, with a sandwich on the bus and a little blue cap, a sort of a beanie that he wore at that time. That's how Orlando remembered him. And they went through the minor leagues together. Of course, Orlando came up in 1958. McCovey came up in 59. And as you alluded to, he had the tremendous debut against Robin Roberts, went 4-for-4. And one of the great moments of San Francisco Giants history. And not only was he Rookie of the Year, he was unanimous Rookie of the Year and had like a 22-game hitting streak amongst the 13 home runs, I think 54 RBIs, as you said. So he's forever known for that. And then the other part of it is, and Drew, I'll go on just a little bit here.
No, please, Marty, please.
Yeah, just a little bit. 1962. Now, don't forget McCovey in 60-61. He had gone back to the minor leagues because he had the sophomore slump, and they sent him back. And then they brought him back in 1962. And, of course, forever he will be known for the bottom of the ninth inning. It's the World Series. Just think about this. You know, today it would be nuts. We'd be going all over it. It's the bottom of the ninth inning. There's two outs, second and third. It's the seventh game of the World Series. He's already homered off of Ralph Terry, a right-hander, earlier in the series.
Yeah.
He just missed the home run in this game. There's two out. Mays is on second. Matty Alou is on third.
Right.
And McCovey comes up. Ralph Terry is a right-hander. McCovey, of course, hitting left-handed. And on deck is Cepeda. So Ralph Houk, the manager of the Yankees, goes out to the mound and says to Ralph Terry, who had given up the home run to Bill Mazeroski, don't forget, to lose the World Series 2 years earlier, says to Ralph Terry, who do you want? And he says, I'll take McCovey. They didn't want to pitch to Cepeda. Well, the first pitch to McCovey, he hits it. And Willie told me, Drew, that he hit it as hard or harder than any ball he's ever hit in his life. And he was not out of the batter's box when Richardson reached at shoulder level to catch the ball to end the World Series in 1962. So the magic debut, the magic part of 1962, and it was just something that in the infancy of Giants baseball, don't forget there are no A's here then. This is the Giants had come to the West Coast in 1958. So it's still the infancy of Giants baseball and getting a foothold in the Bay Area. McCovey became that guy with Cepeda and Mays. And Mays came from New York, and he wasn't taken by the fans as quickly as Cepeda was and McCovey. So McCovey was a major, major, major part of the success of the Giants franchise and the franchise that we know today. And it's a terrible loss for everybody. The sweetest man in the world. There are people at the ballpark. I mean, Mario Alioto, Tom Zorn is someone that not many people know, but always arranged for McCovey to get from the car, the vehicle that would bring him to the ballpark, up to his suite to watch the game. He never missed a game. And in his condition towards the end, he came to the ballpark, and that's how he was part of Giants baseball and the Willie McCovey, the Willie Mack Award. I hope by explaining some of these stories gives some understanding of how important that Willie Mack Award is to everybody.
No, Marty, that's why I wanted to talk to you, because, like I said, you devour this game like no other, and I know that you have things to say about Willie. I wish I was alive to see McCovey play, because that's really where my fandom started. My dad's favorite player was Willie McCovey, and you mentioned something while you were talking that was interesting to me about Willie Mays coming over from New York, and it was McCovey who was the fan favorite. Am I saying that correctly? In the 60s? Why do you think out here that we had this attraction to McCovey, even though there was a brand new baseball team in town with a giant star? We know the brilliance of Willie Mays, but it was McCovey that people love. Is it because that he was the original star of the Giants, of the San Francisco Giants?
Yes, that's exactly right. San Francisco, a very provincial town, and the Giants had come from New York, and they brought their superstar, Willie Mays. Well, we had Joe DiMaggio from the Bay Area, and who's this Willie Mays coming here? So it took a little while for the Giant fans to really embrace Willie Mays. But for Cepeda, who was Rookie of the Year in 1958, and for McCovey, who was Rookie of the Year from July 30th to the end of the year, he was Rookie of the Year unanimous. Those were the two that the fans embraced because they were local, homegrown talent for the Giants. And that's how it happened.
Marty, what is it about McCovey's personality? I mean, is it his background coming from Alabama? From what I've heard, the people that I met him one time, and he was a very sweet man, but he was just so humble. Did you find that to be very rare with players back in the day?
Well, not really. You had to know who McCovey was, and, he had come up through Mobile with, the Hank Aaron, of the world, and Billy Williams and people like that. There was just something about him. He was quiet. He was just a quiet giant, and he let his bat do the talking, and just people respected him. Talking to Cepeda today, and Orlando's so broken up about losing Willie. Willie was like a brother to Orlando. And why do I say that? Because it wasn't just on the baseball field that they were in some competition for first base. Obviously, they both played it, both Hall of Famers. But Willie and Orlando would go to jazz together. They were roommates together. They lived together. So they were close like brothers. And San Francisco embraced that, the jazz of San Francisco, the nightlife of San Francisco. Cha-cha, Orlando Cepeda. And McCovey was part of that in a quiet way. And that's part of what his charm was, like you just described it.
Marty, I know that you met Willie a few times. Do you have a favorite memory of Willie?
Yeah, I have a couple of them. One was actually on the ball field. Mm-hmm. And I tell him this story, and it just, to me, I'll never forget it. It was probably about, 1972 or 3, so somewhere in that range. And I had gone to the ball game, and, of course, Candlestick had, the upper deck at that point in right field. And Leo Durocher, the great Leo Durocher, was manager of the Houston Astros. And it was the ninth inning, and if you remember, the visitor's clubhouse, you had to get to it by going past first base down by the right field bullpen, and there was a door, and that's the way you would get into the visitor's clubhouse.
Okay.
Well, it's a tie game, and McCovey comes up to pinch hit, and Leo Durocher brings in a left-handed pitcher by the name of Jim Crawford. I'll never forget it, to pitch to McCovey. And on the first pitch that Crawford threw, McCovey hit it so far into the upper deck that before it came down, and I swear this is the truth, before it came down, Leo Durocher was almost at first base heading to the clubhouse.
Yeah.
That's how far McCovey hit it. I'll never forget it.
Oh, wow.
And then the other one is a story he told me, and he loved Lon Simmons. He just loved Lon. And, McCovey and Drysdale were very famous, the way they would go at it. McCovey owned Drysdale. There's no question about it. So every time that McCovey would face Drysdale, he would hit him hard and all that kind of stuff, and Drysdale would then knock him down. Well, Drysdale retires, and now he's a broadcaster for the Angels, and the Angels are playing the Giants in exhibition, and it's in Palm Springs, and Drysdale is up in the booth broadcasting for the Angels, and Lon is broadcasting for the Giants, and McCovey is up. And I forget who the pitcher for the Angels was at that time, but McCovey just crushed one, a home run to right field. And Lon stood up, leaned over, and screamed at Drysdale, "You still can't get him out." And Willie, I swear to you, Willie loved telling that story.
Of course.
About Lon. And with Willie, he had that little laugh, and he knew how to do the punchline in just a very understated way. And I'll never forget that as well. So those are two moments that I'll always remember about him. And also, he was generous. People would call me on the air and say, I have a picture of Nolan Ryan pitching to McCovey in spring training, the only time he ever faced him. Can you get Willie to sign it? And I said, send it to me, and I'd go see Willie and explain it to him. And he couldn't have been more generous to do it. And that's the man he was. And it's a terrible loss for our community, for the Giants family, and just for San Francisco baseball. And I think for Bay Area baseball, you just say the name, you know it's number 44. And the last thing I'll tell you, I can go on forever about this.
No, I kind of want you to do. I kind of want you to go on forever, Marty, to be honest with you. Actually, do you mind holding on for just a couple of minutes? Because I want to come back. I got a bunch of questions about McCovey I want to ask. Like I said, I wasn't around watching him play, and I know that you were. It's fascinating hearing these stories. Marty, you mind holding on for just a minute?
Oh, please. I'm happy to do it.
All right, that's our man, Marty Lurie. We'll talk more about the passing of the great Willie McCovey, who died today at the age of 80, up next on KNBR Tonight, the sports leader.
You found KNBR Tonight with your host, Drew Hopper.
Gibson checking with his catcher, Gene Oliver. Now he's up and there ready. Throws 2-2. McCovey swings, crash, tell it, bye-bye, baby. And I mean tell it, bye-bye, baby. That one went clear over the right field roof and disappeared down a street on its way to a hamburger joint.
We lost a legend today. The great Willie McCovey passed away this afternoon at the age of 80. You hear him ripping a shot off of Bob Gibson. Bob Gibson once said that Willie McCovey was the scariest hitter in baseball. And joining me once again, an extended conversation with the great Marty Lurie, who has been around and has been around Giants baseball for a long time, especially Willie McCovey, as we continue this conversation. Marty, I do appreciate you. And just talking about Willie McCovey being a power hitter, you know, there's certain guys, I do believe, Marty, that are more than the game. They become an event. They become an event, and the fringe fan and guys and girls that aren't even into the sport will sit down and watch. We've seen that with Bonds. We've seen that with Steph Curry. But as far as Willie McCovey goes and the power, I mean, how was it to go out and watch Willie McCovey in the 60s with the Giants at Candlestick?
Well, it was incredible. Candlestick didn't bother him. Of course, he was a left-handed hitter and it favored left-handed hitters at Candlestick because of the wind that blew out that way. But he didn't need any help. When he hit a home run, Drew, it was gone. It was off the bat, gone. There was no question about it. He hit majestic home runs into the upper deck. 1969, Raff and I have talked about this a number of times, that I've never seen a hitter cover the plate as completely as McCovey did in 1969. He was MVP that year. And if you look at any of the film from 1969, you can't get him out. There's no place to pitch him. And, of course, that was the year that he had big home runs in the All-Star game. And he said he was going to do it, and he did it. And he hit some of the longest home runs ever seen in Washington in the All-Star game in 69. But this was someone who could hit the other way. He was a smart hitter, and as I said, Drysdale used to come at him all the time, and Mays knew it. Mays knew if Drysdale was on the mound and Mays got a hit into the gap, Willie wouldn't go to second. He would stop it for he would stop at first base. So you have to pitch to McCovey. And Willie would do that. He wouldn't take a double. He would stop at first base and get a single. So they had to pitch to McCovey. And he did that all the time. So McCovey was one of those hitters that was just incredible. He was just, you'd sit back and you just waited for him to connect. But he was a good hitter. And he could take his walks. He had so many intentional walks. It was incredible to watch him. So, yeah, I'd say the horns were majestic. That's the way to describe it.
Marty, this may be a silly question. It may be silly, but I wanted to ask this because we've seen this happen with the franchise in recent years. You know, they had those loyalty deals. Talk about Matt Cain all the time. There's no doubt Matt Cain earned every dollar, every penny that he ever made. But, you know, guys that were on the decline, they got a little extra from the Giants. We talk about Hunter Pence a lot. If Willie McCovey hit that base hit in 62 and the Giants won the World Series, do you think that they would have traded him in 74?
Well, probably at that point.
Okay.
You got to look at Giants history at that point. Mays had been traded. Marichal had been traded. And Horace Stoneham was ready to lose the ball club in 1974. So he couldn't keep the salaries of the big players anymore. So Mays went to the Mets. Marichal was gone, and now here goes McCovey. So it's more a function of Horace Stoneham and the Stoneham family, because those were the days, the old days, of the family ownership of the ball club. And Stoneham couldn't keep up. He was someone, he had a bad ballpark, and he was losing money, and he had to sell the team. And it would have gone to Toronto. But Bob Lurie stepped in at the last second in 1975 with the meatpacking king of Arizona, Bud Herseth, who came out of the woodwork at the last second to kick in the extra $5 million to save the franchise. So to answer your question, I wish he would have gotten a hit in 62, but in a way it became folklore of Giants baseball. Charles Schulz did the panels of Peanuts sitting there, Charlie Brown sitting there, for three panels saying nothing. And in the fourth panel, he says, why couldn't McCovey hit the ball 3 feet high? So to answer you, McCovey was going to go because Stoneham could not afford to keep the team anymore. And luckily, Bob Lurie stepped up, and that's why he saved the Giants.
Marty, I appreciate your time so much. I know it's Halloween. I'm sure you got trick-or-treaters coming to the door. Before I let you go, is there anything else that you want to say about Willie McCovey? Before we get more into it, because we're going to be hearing from John Miller tonight. I have Jim Barr coming up at 8:30, but I just wanted to give you one more opportunity in case I missed anything.
Sure. Well, I think it's very important to acknowledge certain people here. One is his lovely wife, Estella, who took care of him over these last few years and brought him to the ballpark with various caretakers every single night. Willie was there, and Estella would get him dinner, and she was just wonderful. She was I used to say, Estella, you're the angel. You're the gift from God for Willie to take care of him the way you do. And Estella, I know, is very broken up, and what a loss for her. So I love her, and my heart goes out to her. Allison, his daughter, who I knew back in my criminal law days. Mm-hmm. He worked for the pretrial diversion program at the Hall of Justice when I was doing criminal law back then. And I said, your name's Allison McCovey? Are you related? She says, oh, you mean my father, Willie McCovey. So I know Allison going back to the 80s, so my heart goes out to her as well. And there's that gentleman, Tom Zorn, who took care of Willie when Willie would come to the ballpark. And Orlando losing a brother. It's a funny world we live in these days. Hank Greenwald last week,
right.
Willie today, the absolute massacre of Saturday in Pittsburgh, the two young people who were shot earlier in the week, the pipe bombs.
Right.
What is the world we live in today? We need something good. We need some good to happen. So when we think of Willie McCovey, we think good. He was a good man. He was a respected man. When he spoke the truth. And he was a good ball player. He was a generous man. And he's part of San Francisco, part of Bay Area history. He'll live forever. And he'll live forever with a smile. So even in his passing, he goes out with some good. And I said this earlier today on Comcast, when you go, if they can say you were a good man, that's the best they can say. And I'll say it for him. He was a good man.
Marty, thank you so much for spending a while with me this evening.
Anytime, Drew. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. That's the great Marty Lurie talking about the passing of the legendary Willie McCovey. We lost him today at the age of 80 after a long illness. 808. 808-